Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weird Islanders, the podcast from Lighthouse Hockey. My name is Dan. He's Mike. You know this. You've seen this before. We've done this already. We're back for another episode. How you doing tonight, Mike?
I'm excited, as I always am for these now. The feedback has been much better than I thought. I don't know what that says about the fan base and the listeners we have, that I've probably heard more about the Brian Ralston episode of Islanders of Weird Islanders than I probably have heard of any episode ever.
Yeah.
Of Islanders Anxiety.
Specifically.
So, I mean, that's definitely not what I thought was going to happen, but man, I'm really excited now.
The feedback has been great. And I was telling a friend of mine, as I did her Flyers podcast this weekend, about the show. And she was like, you know, that's a great idea, because we have too many newsy sort of like current event hockey podcasts. Like, there needs to be more like kind of non-current event hockey podcasts. And I was like, yeah, you can't get less current than talking about guys who played for the Islanders, you know, 10 years ago. But here we are. This will be an exciting one. We got a great choice, and we got a great guest, and I'm happy to bring him on. If you listen to Islanders Anxiety, and of course, why would you be here if you were not? You know that our favorite sponsor is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, and mugs featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. Well, the founder of that great site is a friend of ours. He's an Islanders fan. He is a former Islanders blogger, and he's an all-around great guy, and we're happy to bring him on. And his name is Kevin Schultz. Kevin, welcome aboard the second episode of Weird Islanders, the podcast.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me. You're resurrecting my Islander podcast blogging career for one special night.
For one very special night, yeah. And the last time you and I spoke over something that wasn't like email or Twitter was at a preseason game in Barclays Center. So it's been far too long, and I'm glad that we were able to have this time. And I got to tell you, your choice of Weird Islander is perfect. So, without further ado, please tell us, Kevin Schultz, your choice for Weird Islander of the evening.
Well, he's a former Albany Riverette and Massachusetts Garth Snow guy. It is Jay Pandolfo.
Jay Pandolfo. Amazing. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of Garth Snow guys, I think, on the run of this podcast at some point.
It's a certain type of guy where they, you know, they're from the Northeast. They, you know, definitely played college hockey there. You know, it's a certain kind of guy. You know them when you see them.
Yeah, definitely.
And them when you hear them too. They all got that Boston accent for the most part. And
Jay Pandolfo. And what's funny is that whenever I think of like a guy, like a guy's guy, you know, like person, and then their guy, like Bill Parcells is always kind of the first guy I go to. But like, his guys won Super Bowls, and like Garth Snow's guys got signed when they were 38 years old to play for the Islanders.
Garth Snow's guys won the 1992 NCAA championship.
For Maine, right? So, Kevin, tell us why you chose this particular Garth Snow guy in Jay Pandolfo.
So it was not intentional to follow your Brian Ralston episode with this. It was just the one that kind of came to me. So Jay's kind of I think he's kind of benign as far as Weird Islanders go, but he's associated with another, I don't know if they necessarily fit your criteria, but he's associated with another former possibly Weird Islander, and there's a little bit of a butterfly effect there. So if you were on Isles Twitter or Islanders blogs in, you know, 2010, 2011, you know exactly the whole story, but I think it's a fun and winding road we can go down with this one.
Definitely. Before we get to that weird Islander, let's start with Jay Pandolfo, the man, the player, the myth, the legend, whatever. So second round pick of the Devils. That I did not know. I would not have.
Yeah, he screams undrafted for you. like Rafalski and Pandolfo. Right. Like John Madden, like these guys are all undrafted. Yeah. I don't care what it says. He was, you know, that's not right.
And all the way back in 1993, I believe, it was he had quite a long career.
He did. He did. He played for the Devils for 13 years, I think, and won two cups with them in 2000 and 2003. And I mean, let's be honest, like he wasn't like a top line goal scorer. I think his max in a season was 14. Like this is not a guy who was meant to go out and score goals. But as a checking forward, as defensive forward for one of, if not the premier defensive team of their era, he was really good. And he, like as Mike mentioned, John Madden, he and John Madden combined to form two thirds of a pretty darn good line that did a lot of work in helping the Devils A, give up no shots on goal, and B, letting Marty Brodeur be, you know, Marty Brodeur. And he was incredibly durable throughout that time too, until a hit later on in his career. And that's kind of started this sort of run of injuries. He couldn't really stay healthy and was in fact unhealthy when he was waived by the Devils in 2009. I believe he was not picked up. He ended up staying out of the NHL for 2010-2011. And he played a couple of AHL games. And then all of a sudden, the Islanders start training camp 2011. And there's Jay Pandolfo. And what's he doing here? All right, we'll give him a shot. And then before you know it, he signs a contract. And now Jay Pandolfo is in the starting lineup every night for the Islanders. And it's like, wait, what? He was, I think, 36 at the time. I don't have his thing up now. But yeah, he just was one of many old Devils that ended up on the Islanders by very strange means. For good reason, but it was way too late. And there he was.
That was also the time when you know, this was, I guess, early stages or middle stages, I guess, of hockey Twitter still. Still ascending into whatever hellhole it's turned into now. But I used to get so jealous when other teams would sign guys to PTOs. I would be like, you know, that was such a smart move by the Wild to bring in that guy who I wish the Islanders. But no matter who it was, it didn't matter if the guy was good or not. I just wanted him because it was a guy out there. And then before that training camp, the Islanders, Snow went hog wild with Pandolfo and Steos. And I'm pretty sure, and this might be me just stereotyping it because they're both Italian, but I'm pretty sure Pandolfo and DiPietro were and remain really tight. And I think that was part of the reason they brought him in, not just the Snow connection, because obviously that was there too, but I'm pretty sure that Jay and Rick go back a little bit. Jay's obviously a little older than him, completely different personality than DiPietro too. I don't think you could pick two different players that have ever played in the NHL, but
right.
That's for some reason that's sticking in my head.
Well, that's probably right because Pandolfo's another BU guy there, so they both met at different times but went to BU.
Yeah, and so it all comes back to Rick.
Yeah, as always. Yeah. So I'm on Lighthouse Hockey right now, and I'm looking at the article that Dom posted when they signed Jay Pandolfo. And the thing is, too, at the same time, or I guess a day or two before, the Islanders also signed a Mike Leboff favorite, Steve Steos, also came aboard at that exact time. And one of the things that makes me excited for this episode is we have actual video. And one of the videos that I'm going to post to the article when we do this is a autograph signing from Adventureland of Jay Pandolfo and Steve Steos together signing autographs for a bewildered crowd of Islanders fans.
That is a vibe.
Yeah, there's a vibe. That's what I was going to say. So like, this is, I mean, you know, this is your, I mean, Kevin, put me in your shoes. You're an early Islanders blogger. You're a fan. And like, this is what you have to write about. Steve, you know, Islanders signing autographs, and it's like Steve Steos and Jay Pandolfo.
Yeah. I think I remember one time I, you know, when I was in high school or something, seeing Matt Molson doing an autograph signing at an Entenmann's in Mineola. So
I think it was Brendan Witt. was big at Entenmann's in Limerick. Yeah. I remember being so mad coming home from high school because I missed the Brendan Witt signing at the Entenmann's, even though it was close.
Things that happened.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
I don't know why I was always at an Entenmann's.
I don't know either. It makes no sense.
Yeah. They must have been a sponsor. I mean, from the player's perspective, I get it. Because then you sign autographs for an hour, and then you get all the donuts and crumb cake you can take home. But why were they there in the first place? I have no idea. So that's pretty funny.
If you look, I like looking at the comments of the signing thing. And Dan, you had a great comment on the Jay Pandolfo signing article by Dom. And it was, the headline of the comment was, "It also works." And the text was, "If they sign Kyle Wellwood."
I wrote that? I can't see that. Why am I not seeing it?
By Dan Saraceni. Wow. On October 4th, 2011. You were really going after Kyle Wellwood then. Damn. I guess. Yeah. Really was the Nick Bonino of 2011 for you.
I think it shows a little bit too in that article how the Islanders were reaching for depth at this point, even though they did have, you know, the core with Tavares and Akposa and Molson. Mm. They were reaching a little bit because Dom was, you know, talking about how, they might sign him to a two-way, you know, if he's lucky, if he does a really lightning in a bottle camp. And it's like, nope, here he is. He's full-time. He's on the roster, guys.
And that's a perfect segue to Jay Pandolfo's one and only goal as an Islander. It came about in November of that year. And if I showed you the list of guys on that roster and I was like, okay, two of these guys assisted on Jay Pandolfo's only goal that year, I don't know if you'd be able to pick out these two guys. And I'm going to put in the video here.
After releasing the puck to the slot, but it couldn't be sent any further by Matthew Darsh. And back come the Islanders. They stay onside. The pass to Bailey. He centers. They score. Jay Pandolfo going to the net.
So basically it's Martin and it's Pandolfo from Bailey and Martin. And they're coming up the ice and the Islanders already have 1-0 lead on the Canadiens. And it's a pretty damn nice goal, I got to tell you. And if you, again, had to pick the three guys that would have combined to score that pretty darn nice goal against Peter Budaj and the Montreal Canadiens, I don't think you would have come up with those guys. But that was it. That was the one goal for Jay Pandolfo in his 1 year as an Islander and his 100th of his NHL career. And the other 99 all got scored for the New Jersey Devils.
I think, we think about Pandolfo, like when we'll get to it, obviously every Islander fan has a, that was around and, a fan back then of age and just absolutely, you know, dealing with the pain of rooting for this team and during that season. They remember Jay Pandolfo for two things. One of them will be the, you know, kind of the crux of this episode, but the other one is that he scored one goal. Like I distinctly remember that. And you know, not every one goal season is created equally. And this was one goal season that this felt like a one goal season. Like Zach Parise's current season, it doesn't really feel like one. No. You know, he's doing a lot more out there. He's chugging along every shift. And not to say Pandolfo wasn't a hard worker, because I think that's how he kind of built his career. But that one goal season certainly felt like that was the ceiling. It was Jay Pandolfo. He scored that goal against the Canadiens, and you knew he wasn't going to get another one.
No. I would have thought that his one goal would have been a shorthanded goal. But but it was not. It was an even strength goal. So let's get to the crux. As you said, we've danced around it enough. Kevin mentioned it right off the top. So Jay Pandolfo, his two most frequent line mates that year on the fourth line of the Islanders were two people: Marty Riesner, another guy who's definitely going to end up on this show at some point, and a young rookie at the time named Nino Niederreiter. Now Niederreiter, we all know the story now. Maybe if you don't, congratulations, because you missed a very terrible time in Islander fan history. But he had been drafted fifth overall. He had an incredible World Junior Championship. He looked to be a stud, and he came on to play. He scored a goal. Well, he I think he was hurt at a camp, came back, scored a goal, immediately got hurt again, came back, and got saddled with fourth liners for the rest of the season. And he had no luck. He was not having a good time. He was not very good defensively. that team was absolutely terrible, and he was saddled with two guys that were literally old enough to be his father. And this is one of the singular worst seasons in NHL, you know, rookie history. So, I mean, Kevin, you brought it up, like, that season really does stick out as just an unbearably awful time for everybody, basically, even just us sitting at home watching it.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, you take this, I think Nino was the number fifth overall.
Yeah.
And you staple him, not to the bench, but you staple him to the fourth line with two guys who are, you know, they're fine, but they're career defensive forwards.
Yeah.
And you're putting your, you know, fifth round, you know, hotshot winger, you know, who scored over a point per game in Portland with them. And on top of that, you have this kind of very strange thing, you know, this was a very hot, you know, crazy point blank comment section thing at the time. And I know it was on Twitter as well, but all the, you know, Charles Wang doesn't want to spend money, and that, you know, I think you talked in the last episode about trying to just hit the cap floor and all that. And,
yeah,
and it was really, that was, you know, it was happening. It was not just a crazy thing. That's what they were doing. And I actually went back and, you know, since Point Blank's articles were gone, I was trying to see what I was saying about this. And, you know, Twitter keeps everything. So I searched my Twitter for Pandolfo and I apparently was speculating that they were, the Islanders were trying to skirt the cap. And I don't know this for sure, cause this is 10 years ago, but supposedly there were bonuses in there that, like, even Pandolfo might've had. And there were, you know, I was tweeting about how, you know, Rolston could get sent down, but he would still count against the cap, but Steos and Pandolfo would not. And it was a very strange time. And I don't know if Nino was stapled to the fourth line because there were maybe incentives in his contract, but it was just, it was a slow motion car crash of just every game being like, guys, can you just put him with Bailey? Like, just do anything with him, please. And it just, the entire season, it just did not happen. And it was still just one of the most bizarre things of just, everyone's watching this. Everyone's kind of like, why? Like, what are you doing? And then, you know, we can, I don't know if we want to skip ahead, but then, you know, you get to the next season and it's really even wilder, where Nino is not picked for the team out of camp. And then that's where his trade request comes in, and it's all kind of,
this
goes from there.
This season was sort of the beginning of the end, you know, I mean, and I think even he was probably like, maybe today's the day that I get to play with Bailey, Nielsen, maybe Tavares, you know, like one of these guys, but nope. Marty Riesner again, and Jim Pandolfo on the other side.
You think Oliver Wahlstrom not playing with Matt Barzal and playing with J.G. right. Pageau and Jack Parise is a problem. Wait, the tired wired thing is that here's Jay Pandolfo and Marty Riesner with Nino Niederreiter. Right. But I mean, it another thing about that team I remember pretty well was that Oposo. It took a while for Oposo to get going that year, and I did the same thing you did, Kevin, earlier today, and I saw that I was complaining on Twitter that when Pandolfo scored that goal, I did tweet right after it, and I tweeted at you. I said, Jay Pandolfo has more goals than Kyle Oposo and Blake Como combined at Schultz 88.
Wow. What date was that?
That was November 17, 2011.
Ooh, so he didn't have a single goal until...
I guess Oposo hadn't yet. And then, jeez. But because I remember him finishing the season that year really strong. I think Bailey did as well, and they started to kind of put it together. But there was... Pandolfo wasn't the only one who scored one goal that season. There were a lot of Islanders who landed on one in that year, and they are all just gems. You know, the legend Dylan Reese, but his was only in 28 games, and he's a defenseman, so that's appropriate. Of course, Marty Riesener.
Right.
He
and Nino, too.
And I was going to say, that whole line was Pandolfo, Niederreiter, and Riesener all landed on one goal in 50-plus games. Mark Eaton, also a one goal guy. Steve Steos, unfortunately, never got on the board, but he was contributing elsewhere.
So speaking of the stats, I have a question for you guys, and you know, you guys might have seen the stats, but the listeners can play along if they probably haven't seen it. Can you name two Islander goalies that season that had more points than Nino Niederreiter?
Oh wow!
Wow.
which, well, that was, by the way, there were five Islander goalies. Yeah, I was gonna say, that was
the
season.
That was the season that they signed Nabokov on waivers, and he didn't want to come over at first because the Red Wings signed him, right?
Yeah.
And then he had to go through waivers, and then Snow ruined his day.
Did everything happen? It feels like everything happened that season.
Yeah, yeah, it was. I think it's a weird one because you go back to 2011-12, and it was the launch pad. It should have been the launch pad for the Tavares core, but it ended up kind of just being a long con for this one a little bit, because you think about Niederreiter asking for the trade, that ends up bringing Clutterbuck over to put together the fourth line that's still intact. And then there's just like so many other things like that. But yeah, I would guess. So I guess Nabokov would be one. And I'm trying to guess the five goalies. It would be Nabokov, Montoya,
yep.
Poulin,
yep.
DiPietro.
Yep.
Who am I missing? Koskinen?
Nathan Lawson?
Oh, this is a weird one.
Oh, I know who it is. He's
large.
Yeah, Anders Nilsson.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. Jeez.
Christ. Okay.
So I'm going to go with Ricky as one of the two. And
if it's not Ricky, that I feel terrible for Ricky.
Yeah. and I guess Montoya? I wasn't sure if he was that year or the year after, but.
Mike, did you have a guess?
I'm gonna guess Nabokov and Rick.
Yep. So definitely Rick. Rick had two assists in eight games. I mean, that's not bad rate there. And Kevin Poulin picked up an assist.
Not a bad rate at all.
Kevin Poulin.
Kevin Poulin.
So in 55 games, Nino picked up a goal and zero assists.
My God.
Right.
It is just
that's
wild.
Amazing. At some point you wonder, like, obviously he was not happy with his playing time, and you just think, all right, so we probably didn't pick up on it because we felt bad for him too. We were rooting for him out of those three, obviously, that he probably was just dogging it all season and not doing anything.
Was that
the season that Rick wore the cat eye Chris Osgood helmet too? Was that a little later?
That was the year he broke his jaw, right? So that would have been later, I think.
I think that this was the year after the Penguins brawl.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because that was 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this was 2012. Yeah. So that would have been.
This was his second to last season.
Yeah.
My God, imagine how different the brawl would have been if Jay Pandolfo and Marty Reasoner were around. Instead, they would have been like, I'm not getting involved in this for this team. Are you kidding me?
The whole Nino thing has so many layers to it. I mean, it can almost be like its own 30 for 30. Like, you've got the whole Pandolfo Reasoner aspect of it. And I apologize to Marty Reasoner. He might not have been old enough to be Nino's father at that point. Pandolfo definitely was. But maybe Reasoner not so much. I don't have a hockey reference up at the moment. But the other thing is the contract issue, which Kevin talked about before. Like, they needed that cap hit. And he was making like $2.7 million that year. Like, that was his AAV that year as a rookie. So he must have been one of the highest paid Islanders. It was probably like Tavares, Oposo, Bailey, and Niederreiter, you know, were probably the highest paid Islanders at the time. But then there's also, like, he had no luck whatsoever. I mean, it's hockey. You'd think he would just score another goal by accident, throwing it towards the net. Nope, this was one of those seasons, like, kind of like the Islanders having right now. Not an ounce of luck to be found anywhere. But he didn't really, like, kind of take the initiative. And I mean, maybe he was young and he wanted something a little bit more, and he never really kind of took to the whole, like, all right, well, if they're going to play me with these defensive guys, I need to play a little bit more defensive hockey. It just never sort of materialized. And that's kind of why, like, when people get mad about Barry Trotz again, like, not playing Kiefer Bellows or Wahlstrom higher in the lineup, like, every coach is kind of wired this way, where if you're going to give up scoring chances on the other end, you're going to end up either on the fourth line or sitting on the bench. And when you're stuck with a player like Jack Capuano was, and I'm not defending this whole thing, trust me, I promise you, but, like, you're stuck with this guy. You can't get rid of him because you need his cap hit. So you can't send him down to the minors. You know, he's not kind of like cognizant defensively yet because he's an 18-year-old kid. Obviously he's not. What do you do? And so you stick him with two defensive, you know, forwards that are going to limit scoring chances. And what happens? He scores one goal in a season. So, like, it's kind of like so many of these different layers. And then, like you said, the fact that there's this butterfly effect of, like, it snowballs into the next season, the lockout season, where coming out of the lockout, the Islanders pick up five guys on waivers and they leave Nino back in Bridgeport. Then it just exacerbates the whole thing. And now we're off and running, and well, here's Cal Clutterbuck. And I remember that very, very well. But this is what the other thing too is, like, yes, this was the season that we had Brian Rolston, and we talked about him last week, but there's a huge difference between Pandolfo and Rolston in that at least Pandolfo tried. Like, he was out there doing what he could do, and there was some effort involved. And Rolston, not so much, but he got third line time, and Nino got fourth line time because of circumstances, basically.
Yeah, I can remember in my head, like, Howie Rose being like, if the Islanders needed a big penalty kill, you know, Capuano's going to tap Reasoner and Pandolfo, their ace penalty killing duo. And I'd have to look up what their PK was that year. I'm sure it was god awful because the team was god awful. But you know, there was a role for Pandolfo, and he played it, where there was a role for Ralston, and he kind of just was like, I'm better than this. And that it does show you that, like, you know, as much as Jay Pandolfo is, we can lampoon him for his stint as an Islander, because I think however many episodes we do of this, there's going to be some guys who at the very end, we can ask, you know, as many hockey fans as we want, if they could, if they even remember Jay Pandolfo as an Islander. Cause I think most people would say no, like that's not true, that, you know, true or false, this guy played for an Islander. I think Pandolfo would probably register a lot of falses and more than any, but he did, like you said, like there, I think there was, he did end up helping like the greater good of that core, whereas Ralston certainly did not.
No,
at all. It didn't come close. He probably sent him back a little bit. I do wonder too, like Pandolfo, he was coaching for a while. I think he's now with coaching BU or something, but he was coaching with the Bruins for a while. And if he came around, you know, UBS Arena or something, and, you know, people were talking like, oh yeah, it's Jay Pandolfo. If he would realize, you know, what his Islander legacy is, because every you play for the Islanders, you're gonna have a legacy no matter what. And your legacy is that you played with Nino Niederreiter and basically made him cry his way off Long Island. But like, right, that is just such a funny way to be remembered by an entire fan base. That's how everybody does it. You bring up Jay Pandolfo to any Islander fan, and the first thing, you know, the word association game would be Jay Pandolfo, Nino Niederreiter.
And, you know, a little bit of a bad break for Jay as well that season. I had a note. He apparently broke his foot in November of that season. So I don't know if he did it after he scored that goal in November. But
wow. So he played basically the whole season on a broken foot?
Or he was out for some amount of time.
Oh, all right. You know, but yeah, that part I didn't remember.
So,
sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, and I have one other weird fact I wrote down as I was searching Twitter. There apparently at some point was a fake Jay Pandolfo impersonator on Twitter. I tweeted it. It must have happened.
I don't think it was me, but I hope it wasn't.
I mean, if that isn't the most hockey Twitter thing ever, I don't know what it is. The fake Jay Pandolfo. Is it Jay Pandolfo's ego? Is that what it was called?
I'm not sure. I just had a reference that it. It happened.
That's so funny. Oh my God. I hope that person's still out there. I don't know. That would be really funny if that person is still out there. I found out again through searching the Lighthouse Hockey archives that he was the Islanders Professional Hockey Writers Association chapter nominee for the Masterton Trophy that year, because he had come back from injury and he had missed the entire previous year after having shoulder surgery, I believe, and came back and again played a whole season for the Islanders. And so he should have been lauded for that, for sure. I have absolutely no, he did not win the Masterton Trophy that year. Apparently I had a strong feeling about it, cause I was quoted in the article that we posted. And I have no recollection of this whatsoever. Cause I would have given the Islanders Masterton to Steve Staios. For just surviving, coming back, the dedication to hockey, but
for going to Adventureland.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man, imagine Steve Staios, like he comes from the bulk of his career playing for the Oilers, went to a Stanley Cup final with them, and you know, we know that market fan base, and then you tell him, oh yeah, you're going to be doing an autograph signing at an amusement park. He probably, you know, his mind probably goes to stuff that he did with the Oilers, where maybe it's a lot more people just strolling through with drawstring backpacks than there would be at Adventureland. And a lot of people would know, oh, there's Steve Staios. Like, for us, it's probably like people are like, dude,
yeah,
who? How do you say that last name?
Yeah, the video of the autograph signing is has to be seen, because everybody's like very cordial, but I don't know if anybody actually wants to be there. the players, the people. It's weird.
There were a lot of pictures from those Adventureland signings. I want to say it was Bailey, or maybe it was Franz Nielsen. Somebody's Wikipedia for a while a picture from the Adventureland signing. And it was just like this like blurry picture, and I think it was Nielsen, of him like in like a golf shirt with an Islander jersey pulled over it, like smiling with someone, and they're cropped out of the photo. And you're like, that's definitely Adventureland. It's because if it's not Entenmann's, it's Adventureland.
Yeah. That's excellent. Somebody needs to go on Jay's Wikipedia and change his picture to Nino now. That's the listener assignment.
There should be really, like, you ever like when you're on Wikipedia and it's like, there's another entry attached to that one, and there's like a whole other link. So like if you look up like Batman, like Batman's villains get a whole other page at Wikipedia, if not multiple pages. There should be like a link to the Niederreiter season from Jay Pandolfo's Wikipedia page to that, to explain how this whole thing unfolded in its many, many disturbing layers. So he spent one season with the Islanders, but he played a handful of games with the Bruins a year later, did not score any goals, and that was the year the Bruins went to the Cup final and they lost to Chicago. He didn't play any playoff games that year, so I don't know if he was on maybe just hanging around with the team that year or whatever. And of course, 2012, the year he played for the Islanders, the Devils went to the Cup final that year. So he missed out on a couple of runs from a couple of teams. And sandwiched in the middle was that completely terrible Islander season that we're all sitting here still talking about.
You know what else is funny about that is that Jay Pandolfo, in his 1 year as an Islander, got to do something that very few Islanders got to do, which was wear those black, rumored to be Cameron Wong designed jerseys, where it was the black with it just said Islanders above the number.
The lacrosse
don't
jersey.
Remind me about those.
Oh, God. Yeah, the lacrosse jersey.
That's our logo, man. Islanders logo.
It's just like Jay. So somewhere in one of, in a closet somewhere, there's a Jay Pandolfo black and gray Islanders jersey.
Yes. I remember so many tweets of people asking me or Eric Hornick, what's their record in those jerseys? What's their record? I'm like, it's not good in the jerseys. It's not good out of the jerseys.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's true. Oh my God. Yeah, that was the first foray into black. And then they would get the Barclays Center, the black jerseys that were very popular. I know I always tell people, out of market, like people made fun of those jerseys, and they weren't, I didn't particularly care for them that much, but people really liked them. So, I mean, there you go. And now, apparently somebody working for the Devils liked them so much that they took the same exact jersey, wrote Jersey on it, and gave it to the Devils. So
I actually have a funny unsubstantiated rumor about those jerseys. I had been, and it's so many years, and I was never able to track it down.
These are the Barclays Center, like the black and white jerseys? Or the lacrosse jerseys?
These are the black and blue ones.
Okay.
Is that's the correct one we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I had been told and never confirmed that they were a design for the Thrashers, but the Thrashers had jumped to Winnipeg, so it just kind of was unused, and the Islanders somehow or another picked that up.
That's mind-boggling.
I'll subscribe to that.
Yeah, I believe it.
Me too.
But it's a UFO,
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, hey, listen. I think the statute of limitations has passed on whether or not that has to be true or not. And I think we're all we just got to go with it. Because I can see that logo. Like, I can see that Thrashers logo. Or, like, the third logo? Well, they had the sort of round one with the round bottom and the whole bird on it. But then you had sort of the front bird. It looked like a T. I could see either one of those logos on that jersey. So, and it wouldn't have been the one with Atlanta down the one sleeve. So, wow. This is what's great about, look at this, two episodes in, we're already doing things that no other Islanders podcast can do. We're breaking down barriers here. This is an amazing experience.
Where else can you go to get Jay Pandolfo and the Atlanta Thrashers?
Right.
In the same episode.
And Entenmann's, because now, why not? Obviously.
Yeah.
This has been a great experience, and as I tell people every week on Islanders Anxiety, VintageIceHockey.com is an incredible site. It's not just selling shirts and mugs and hoodies and sweatshirts and all kinds of – and jerseys now too. We'll get to that in a second. And hats. But there's articles in there about team histories that you write, right? I mean, you write those for most of the teams. Right? Most of them have those little histories there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot of fun trying to track down even the most obscure teams possible. I was going today searching newspapers, trying to figure out who the Fitchburg Trappers were, who played six games in the Atlantic Coast League in 1981. So if anybody knows that, please reach out to me.
Where is Fitchburg? Nothing on them.
But it's really a lot of fun. It's a lot of, there's interconnected history. There's just interesting history. We just put up the Kentucky Thoroughblades, which was an Islander farm team.
Yeah, classic 90s logo. Even comes in teal, which is the perfect color for a logo like that. And where is Fitchburg? Is that in Mississippi?
Massachusetts,
yes. So
okay. Well, there you go.
Who is the Thoroughblades' greatest player? Do you guys know this one?
Was it Ziggy Palfy?
I'm going to go with Zdeno Chara.
It was a Z. It's Big Z, Zdeno Chara.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember him briefly playing for, and that was Butch Goring's team, right?
I'm not sure. I know Butch was out in Utah. I don't remember if.
Yeah.
I got to look up who the Thoroughblades coach was.
I thought that was him because I know he had coached. Well, I guess not. Maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, but you can find out all this and more by going to vintageicehockey.com. And of course, they also house our Al Arbor t-shirts, and you can get those there too. And Kevin very dutifully, very wonderfully sends our portion to the Center for Dementia Research. If you've bought a shirt, thank you very much, because your donations have gone directly to the Center for Dementia Research. This has been great. Kevin, we really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything you want to let anybody know before we wrap it up?
Well, I appreciate the time. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, it's Schultz88. And I appreciate everyone from Islanders Anxiety who's bought the shirts, use the discount code. And the code is currently not working, but we are fixing that. So I appreciate you guys having me. And it was a lot of fun to get back into this and go down memory lane to apparently 2011 is now 11 years ago.
Oh my God. That's insane.
Yes.
It's wild, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. It feels like just yesterday. Jay Pandolfo was blocking shots for the Islanders in front of Mark Eaton and Steve Staios and Milan Urcina.
Milan Urcina.
Milan Urcina. Yeah.
When you talk about the record with the jerseys that, When if we asked Jay Pandolfo, did you know what your legacy was with the Islanders? And we'd have to tell him that's the Nino Niederreiter thing. And then you think about Urcina and you're like, oh, well, do you know what your legacy with the Islanders is? And we're like, oh, we never lost when you were in the lineup, which is strange because we didn't win many games that year. Did you just never play?
The Urcina anomaly, one of the early, very early memes at Lighthouse Hockey. So, yeah, that was a weird thing. That's gonna require a lot of research. find the exact number of games they won with him in the lineup, but we'll get there. But yeah, wow, 11 years ago. I know, I can still picture these guys playing for them. I mean, I thought Jay Pandolfo played more than one season for the Islanders last week, so
it felt like it
like it. It was the longest season I could remember in a long time before this one anyway. All right, well, thank you very much, Kevin Schultz, for coming on with us. Everybody, make sure you check out vintageicehockey.com. We'll be back again at some point later with another weird Islander. And thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you later. All right. Bye-bye.